When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. Confederacy of dotes, Toronto Raptors, Scotty B,
we the North, baby. Man, oh man, did I miss that AI intro.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're back.
I'm back, baby.
It's still here. Yes, you do. Guys, I'm handing it over. Back over to Freddie. Confederacy Ducks, Freddie, why don't you bring us in here? Let's do it.
Damn. It's good to be back. I'm so happy that my 7-week-old is, just born into the Kelly Olynyk era. This is really exciting times. I want to thank you, Andy, for holding it down. And a very special shout out to the newlywed, Brendo O'Halloran.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. Thanks for allowing me to stick around and get people angry about our Scotty Barnes takes.
thanks for, holding down the fort in a time when the fort got blown to smithereens.
It's been a rough time for the fort. We're constantly being assaulted from all angles.
Freddie, it kind of does suck that you made Caitlin and Deuce when you saw the writing on the wall with this team.
For sure, 100%. And as listeners of this pod know, I've been very much like, listen, like, stay good, stay competitive, don't blow it up. And when we did blow it up, I jump ship. So I am a coward, and I'm gonna blame everyone but myself.
But yourself, yeah.
Adam Christie, also thanks for joining the pod, guys. Let's do this. Let's jump into the thing that everyone has to talk about.
The fact that we have four guests and we normally, in the last like couple of weeks, it's just been me and Brendo.
So
everyone's talking about it.
Yeah. So if you bet the under on guests, you've lost a lot of money.
You're out.
Raptors fans, Jonte Porter. He bet the under on himself. I mean, I guess I should say it's still allegedly. Right?
You have to say that. You could get in big legal trouble if you don't say alleged.
And also, I mean, it is it is one of those things where if it comes out that it's not true, shit, because this guy's just been absolutely destroyed everywhere.
Yes.
You know, this it is does happen.
Imagine somehow it's all just a misunderstanding.
Oh my God. I mean, like, shit like this, this is a very deep cut. But, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but, Birdman, whose real name I'm forgetting, Chris Anderson, I think, Mohawk tatted basketball player. Right. He got accused of some horrible things, and they came out, they were untrue. And anyway, so shit does happen. But I think I'm going to throw it to the group. This is this wildly humiliating, embarrassing, salt in all of our wounds. Brendo, I'll give you the honor. Like, what's your
okay. Feeling? So if this is true, it is very bad. Okay. We all know that. I do have a high degree of skepticality with this too, because I just don't think that players so it was reported that he has a Discord server where he gives out like stock tips and he's talking about crypto investing and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Because you do that stuff does not mean that you gamble on sports. Just because you do that stuff does not mean that you gamble on the sports that you play in. And I just find it really strange. I can't get there mentally where a player would go like, yeah, I'm going to put down a couple of beans on my own parlay here to make beans. A couple of guys in the Discord server a couple of bucks when it's better for me to be out there on the court and earning he could be earning tens of millions of dollars on a new contract. It just doesn't fully track to me that this would do this. I think that there's a larger point and a larger problem where just this stuff is going to just keep happening because there is no way to put the toothpaste back in the tube. Mm-hmm. The betting companies need the networks. They are a symbiotic relationship now. The money is too important where the networks are hemorrhaging money and they need advertisers. And the sports betting companies need to only be on sports net or like on sports platforms. They're not like a Pepsi where they can go advertise somewhere else. The gambling places need to be on the sports networks. The networks need that. They need the money. They're reliant on each other. And there's no way to uncouple these two anymore. So we're going to keep getting stories like this. We're going to keep getting it's going to get messy. And this is only the beginning of the mess. We are just dipping our toe into the mess.
Which is what Adam Silver absolutely does not want. I think it's like everything I've heard is that like the gigantic like on fire made of spikes book is going to be thrown at Jonte Porter for this. Like it's going to be real. They're really going to make a serious.
I'm just thinking about that book.
Example out of him. Like that book is massive. It's a magic
scary,
book.
That's a scary image.
It curses you if it touches you. Also, it's really bad.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, this is yeah, that's the Adam Silver book. He's got it ready.
This is your Magic the Gathering podcast bleeding into the basketball.
yeah, my old Magic podcast is really, really. I gotta put it somewhere. You know, sure, it's gotta go into somewhere. Book of the legendary book of Adam Silver. Yeah, that's what's gonna happen because it kind of doesn't matter if it's true or not, right? From the league standpoint, almost like. Just the fact that this is the biggest sports story of the past like week or so is enough that I feel like the NBA is going to be like, well, it doesn't matter if you're directly involved, you bet on yourself. The fact that you were the biggest money-making bet in the league twice is insane, and there's no way there was not something going on that they're just going to be like, mm-hmm. make sure that it never happens again, you know?
Did Ohtani plant this story?
Right? How is this bigger than the Ohtani one? But it is, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it is.
I don't think it's bigger than the Ohtani story.
I don't think it's bigger than the Ohtani story at all. The Ohtani thing is way huger.
But the fact that Ohtani has already come out, addressed it, talked about it, I really feel like that it's like it's a little bit, people are like, that's right, it probably wasn't him. Why would he? It's the translator. It's fine. Like that's the feeling surrounding the Ohtani story. Whereas the Porter story is like, oh my God, sports betting. It's a scourge. Oh God, it's going to ruin everything. We got to throw the book at this guy. Like that's the feeling. People are panicking around this story. It feels like.
Yeah, I guess because the Ohtani story, they're really trying to sweep it under the rug because he is the like biggest name in mm-hmm. baseball. Whereas with this, it's like, yeah, he's going to get the book thrown at him because it's going to send a message to the league being like, you can't touch these betting apps if you play basketball.
Yeah.
It just is so like, this is like what your uncle says he would do if he was playing on the – like, you know what I would do? I would bet the under on myself and then fake an injury and then we're tanking anyway and who cares? And you're like, Uncle Stu, you're a fucking moron.
Yeah, he'd be like, I'm making $600 extra on this one. And it's like, Uncle, you play in the NBA. What are you talking about? Just why don't you just play in the NBA and make that money?
Yeah. And then I'd always have a guy on his hands and knees, so it'd be easier to dunk. And you're like, all right, that's not going to happen.
You can't.
And yeah, let's talk about cherry picking. We should do it in the NBA.
Yeah, it's bad. Everything about this is bad.
It is, yeah.
And, you know, do you ever get a contract again if you bet the under on yourself? That's like stinks if it is indeed true.
Yeah.
I think my players betting the over. If they all took the over, then I think that's fair ball. And I think that you should allow basketball players to bet on themselves.
Yeah,
as long as they're taking the over, because that just means they're trying. All they're doing is trying.
There's a soccer player named Ivan Toney, and he got suspended for a full year in the Premier League. But he was betting on himself and his team when he was playing, and when he was injured, he'd bet against his own team.
Okay, so he is betting on his skill.
There has to be a caveat where it's like if your bet is hilarious,
that's
Wade. Like if you're whatever, if you're a player and you're like, I'm betting the over 10 turnovers, watch this. You know what I mean? Like, and there it's just go. Like, yeah. It's just like elbow passes all the time. And it's like, you know, your coach like yells at you, whatever. But like, you're like, no worries, I got this. You dribbled off your foot. Like, if it's like a full, you know.
So Brendo, you were talking about how like you're saying how like, yeah, and I agree with this. Like, it the thing about this, about your uncle saying that he would do this, is that it never makes any sense because you are making millions on. It's way better for you to just, you know, continue in earnest your basketball career and have the best contract as you possibly that you can get. But then what? Then I guess like what is actually happening here though? Because something's up, right? Something's fishy. Like the under bet on Jontay Porter games is like being the biggest by far winner of those nights is, you know, it happening twice is definitely like not a coincidence, you know, like it's at least weird. That's the feeling, right? Is that like
it
is.
It could be, you know, it could just be a way to funnel money to, and this is pure speculation, I don't know. There's got to be something, but if it is just a way to funnel money to your friends, like if there was a betting line on me going on stage tonight and bombing, and I was like, yo, Andy, I'm about to go up there and bomb. You should look at all this material. It sucks. And you can make money on that. Then perhaps I would just cut in my friends and go like, hey, go bet on the fact that I'm going to stink out there tonight. Like, again, like to me, that's the only like.
Well, like the injury thing is like, hey, look.
Because like, why? Like, I don't get it. Like, I'm just like, if it's all about making money, there is way better. It's better to go play basketball and make money.
Now, I will say this, though. OK, because that's a good point. But I will say this, that like. Athletes in general across all sports are not the smartest with money, right? And we've seen many indications where like an athlete is doing something to make a little extra money that like ruins their career, and you're like, why were you selling these things out of the trunk of your car when you could, like, you are a basketball player or you are a baseball player, you're a football player, like there are so many like instances of guys betting on, they're in the Premier League and you're betting, you know, and you know you're not allowed, like people make bad decisions all the time. Yeah. So I don't think that necessarily like is really a real convincing reason why it's like, oh, it doesn't make sense, so he wouldn't have done it. Like,
yeah, maybe Jontay had to recoup some of the money that he lost on all those bored apes that he bought. I don't know.
Also,
maybe he's made a couple of, maybe he was in on crypto. Maybe he was in on FTX or something before. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, lost a lot on Dogecoin when Elon hosted SNL, you know?
I think the big elephant in the room for this, like, even though, you know, everyone's talking about how gambling's bad, and, you know, I agree that like generally players are trying to do their best and like further their career, you know, get that next contract, all that kind of stuff. But the big elephant in the room is the people most familiar with gambling, like, is the mob, right? Is organized crime. So generally they find a way to make money in ways that we don't quite understand. So, I mean, obviously diving into like wild speculation here, but, you know, whether it's like Tim Donaghy, like the player doesn't have to be like the direct, like, I tell my friends this, then I make X amount of money. The mob can just sort of be like, hey, it would be awesome if this happened. Anyways, there's $9 million in your account. And, you know what I mean? We'll handle the rest.
It does, like, seem like a C storyline on The Sopranos. Like on the episode where they protest the Columbus Day parade, like if Paulie like knows a guy who knows a guy who plays for the Brooklyn Nets or like the New Jersey Nets, and they try this, it's like, it seems like one of the worst storylines on The Sopranos.
And Jontay
Porter is going to go out with an eye injury. You know what I mean? So look out for those FanDuel bets.
But I could see, because there's like stuff about tanking, about like, how do you tank really? And I guess it's sit all of your starters. We literally see it now. But is there like messaging in a locker room where it's like, if you are 1% injured, sit down. Like, we are not trying to win. So if there is any chance you could get further hurt or you feel pain at all, do not play basketball today. So are you like, yeah, well, that's a green light. I'm going to just say I got a stomach virus. I'm coming out.
I think this isn't tanking, but I forget what it was on, but Damian Lillard talked about this. Like, you know, we always, the framing around like players resting and, you know, tanking, that kind of stuff is like all the onus is on the players, but really it's the organization. Like Lillard. Yeah. Again, I forget what it was on, but he talked about how like when he was with the Blazers, they showed him the schedule and they're like, pick 7 days that you're not going to play. because there's seven games that we don't want you to play within this stretch. And he was like, I'm healthy. I'm good to play. They're like, that's fine. You won't be playing. So pick seven games that you won't be playing. And I think that happens a lot. And players sort of like, you know, whether it's Embiid or whoever the hell, they kind of get the blame where it's like, oh, you know, Kawhi's like choosing this and that and this and that. It's like, no, I think it's very much like an organized thing. And to your point about like sort of like egregious tanking, we're all enjoying the Thunder now, but do the Thunder get Chet if they don't rest a healthy Shea for 35 games? Yeah. Right. The Thunder closed that season and there was like, maybe there was some kind of nagging injury, right? I don't know what's going on with Quickly right now. But yeah, I think that sort of happens where it's like, hey, we're being extra careful or, you know, whatever it is. And we're just going to tell you to work out instead of, you know, playing.
Just to the organized crime thing you're saying there, Freddie.
Let's bring it back to me bringing up over back to, which I know nothing about.
I think that it's an interesting point. Is that like so he used like legal betting methods to do these allegedly.
A big allegedly blanket on everything.
Yeah, allegedly. And that's how they found out, is because, you know, there's certain things in like algorithms and things that they check for these I was gonna say inaccuracies, but like anomalies, right?
Yeah. So
they find these anomalies, these betting anomalies, and then that's how they were able to locate this. That's through the legal betting apps. Like, if this happened here, if allegedly Jonte Porter used these apps to do this, what's happening on the other side, like in the illegal side of things, right? Where like bookmakers are still, because that's still happening, you know what I mean? So like, that's probably more, you know, frequent than we think it is.
Yeah,
and definitely more lucrative. And so like, yeah, like the fact that he allegedly was stupid enough to use these things. Also on the other side of that, what's going to happen when someone's like smart enough to not make a pattern of it, you know, and not do it in such a big way, and instead have it, you know, who's to say that's not also not happening? This is what happens. This is why it's going to be a real tricky maneuver for our old boy Adam Silver and his magic book.
How funny is it if you're just some guy who lives in Idaho and you hit your Jonte Porter under threes twice in a row, and now it's like ruining this guy's life?
It's ruining his career. Yeah, exactly.
He was just like, oh my God, what have I done?
I mean, I guess someone would come out and be like, no, that was me. I really didn't believe he'd hit a single three.
Yeah. It's like a betting group and they all like share like interesting prop bets and
Wait,
stuff.
Wait, your name's like, Monte Porter?
Yeah, you know.
Well, that's okay. Let's go from one extremely embarrassing piece of Raptors news to another. We are 12 losses deep. I think we have 9 games left. The worst losing streak in Raptors history is 17 games. So this is very much in play. I think in our next schedule, you know, 6 games or so, it's about 2 winnable games. We've got the Bucks, we've got the Lakers. These are not the winnable games. But I think we play the Wizards and I think we play the Nets. So yeah, let me start with you, Adam. And then, you know, everybody just chime in. But how low of a point is this? And also, are we going to break the all-time Raptors losing streak?
I think our schedule is pretty hard. And to tie it, we play the Wizards. And I think that's going to be the real test. But the Wizards do still have like Kyle Kuzma. And they have what's his name? That sent Rashawn Holmes, and they have
they're stacked.
What a state, I'm just sitting here. Freddie said it. Like, I'm just sitting. What a state of affairs that we're just like, well, they still got Kyle Kuzma. Like,
yeah.
Where have we sunk into? Oh my God.
So I really don't want to say that we're going to break the record, but it's really on the table. We ain't winning any game before that. I mean, it'll be a real surprise if we win a single game before we play the Wizards. Because, like, the Lakers are still competing. The Bucks are going to roll over us. It's going to be bad.
Yeah, most of the teams that we're playing are competing. I'll throw it right out there. I don't know that we're going to win another game this season.
We could lose out. Like, that's also in play. Like,
so it's 76ers, Lakers, Timberwolves, Bucks, Wizards. Pacers.
Wizards is Wizards.
Nets, and then Heat back to back.
Nets is winnable.
Nets, and we play the Pacers, games, but that doesn't mean that we're going to win those games.
Yeah. No, it's not. By no stretch am I guaranteeing a win. I'm saying it's a winnable game, but it's not looking
on great. On the table is also we lose out the rest of the we like very really much so. Set a benchmark. Yeah, you're right, Brendo.
Yeah, and it depends who comes back. Like, you know, are we going to see IQ again this season? Are we going to see RJ? Are they just going to shut them down at this point? Are they going to play limited minutes? Are they going to, you know, like who's going to play a little bit at the end if we're just rolling, you know, basically our bench guys and, you know, like if we're rolling out these lineups that we have been rolling out, we are going to lose every game before the end of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we're like we're in. I made a joke the other day. We're in the immaculate grid territory of the Raptors season, and yes. You know, because
these are going to be great guys to pull out on immaculate grid later. Yeah.
A lot of 0.1.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're in that dangerous territory where, you know, pride will kick in at some point, but that point might be too late. You know what I mean?
I just can't believe it hasn't kicked in already. We really needed it to have kicked in at some point, the pride to have kicked in at some point, if it was going to kick in.
From like a scoring perspective is why I think it's really in play. Because like, not only is this team, you know, like not only has this team dealt with like season ending injuries, you know, horrible tragedies, you know, in regards to RJ. And then, you know, just like an endless slew of like bad luck with like, with Abaji and just so much stuff. On top of that, it's like, it's constantly bringing in bad scenarios as far as like chemistry. So it's not even like this is a team that's young and, you know, has had bad luck, but they like have played with each other for a long time. Like every game is like a new set of guys, and there isn't really a way to sort of be like, okay, well, this guy's gonna like, you know, get 25 for us.
You know what's nice is that I'm like, whenever I watch the Raptors now, I'm like, I'm just proud that these guys got to play in the NBA. It's like you're living your
dream.
You're
just playing the parents of all the G Leaguers.
Yeah, I'm like, Kobe Simmons gets to play four games at least. That's like really nice. That's nice.
I'm glad DJ Carton's in there. Good for him.
Hell yeah. I'm happy for the coaches too.
But it sucked that that Knicks game I watched. Listen, you're God bless you if you're listening to this podcast. Dear God. But I haven't watched a full Raptors game. The last like full Raptors game, I watched half of the Knicks game on Wednesday, and Miles McBride was torching us, and that hurt because it's like, oh well, they have a guy who's like at the end of their bench who's just lighting us up, and we're a team of those guys who just can't figure out anything to do. So it's like an audition for our ninth and tenth men for the rest of the season, and it's not fun. It's not a fun.
No, and typically an audition would be like 5 minutes. This is like a couple months of auditions, and you're like, yeah. I need this audition to be over. Like,
yeah.
We've run out of
script. There's way too many callbacks.
We've seen everything that you have to offer here.
Yeah.
Okay, that's actually a good transition. Because, you know, obviously this season is what it is, right? So we're going to have all summer to talk about draft, team building, you know, what what this franchise is going to look like going forward. But I want to kind of like dive into, you know, just some optimistic kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Just, you know, imagining that there's a way in which this team could be good next year. So if that's the case, to kind of like bring into focus, like Adam said, like these players we're watching and this last little bit of the season, in the same way that like Bruce Brown was a really key important player in that Nuggets championship, mm-hmm. Who is a guy that is playing right now that you think maybe in some scenario could be, you know, like a key contributor in a winning situation, and like, and how is he contributing? Does that make sense? Is that too meandering of a question?
Like sixth man type off the bench, man, type of thing,
or eighth man? You know what I mean?
Like, right. Okay.
I don't think Bruce Brown was a starter, but no. He was like, you know, you know, he sort of played like whatever 25 minutes a game, and was huge in that Nuggets championship. Mm-hmm. So
is it bad that my answer isn't Bruce Brown?
Yeah, I was gonna say. Well, I'm not picking Bruce Brown.
Yeah, I know, because it's like I can't see that being. Well, that's the fun about this, like this type of like imagining question is like, I also agree. Like, I don't see a version in which this team gets good and Bruce Brown's a part of it. But yeah, so let me go to you. I don't know who wants to go first, Andy.
I think that like there's two answers that kind of jump to the top, and then the rest are like kind of fun, sort of dark horse mentions. But I think the easiest answer is like Grady, because he's really starting to shine now, and
yeah,
watching him like next year. Yeah, exactly. Like watching him next year is just going to be even more fun and more exciting when he's when he starts to gel with these guys and playing with the starters more and stuff like that. I think we're going to see a really fun version of Grady Dick. And like the one shining thing of this terrible, awful losing streak run this season in general, this injury laden season, is that we, you know, at first we were all like, ooh, Grady, not good enough. Sorry, brother, you're terrible, really. And we thought you were going to be good right away. And then here we are at the end of the season. We're like, hey, all right, good. We're seeing this great progression. It's really fun to watch him. So that's really fun. And I think the other, like, I mean, I don't want to steal anyone's answer. I'll say Grady and see if everyone else mentions the other guy. Grady.
Yeah, just a quick little, like, add-on to Grady. Like, all the worrying aside, and I think, you know, it is worrying or worrisome when, you know, your draft pick kind of comes in looking not NBA ready. Mm-hmm. But he was billed as the best shooter in the draft, and he is the best shooter in the draft. Mm-hmm. So that's fantastic.
Well, I think a lot of that is on the Raptors, like, management. They really pumped him up like he was going to come in and make a major impact. They really didn't leave much room for him, you know, the way they talked about him. And then instead he, you know, didn't have the greatest start, but now it's come on and is a real player. And, like, that's, you know, that happens with rookies. we're lucky it's his first year and he's doing this. You know what I mean? So I blame the more like the management's like messaging on that than anything else.
I also love when a joke of a story is actually like, oh, that worked. Like when he went to the G League and they're like, we're going to put him on a 2-week workout. And everyone's like, a 2-week workout plan? Like, this guy's in the NBA. But then after that, he was like, no, the 2 weeks of working out was great. All I needed to do was work out a bit. And I'm sick, actually. Brendo, Adam?
Brendo, take it away.
Oh, okay. Is it bad that my answer is Jonte Porter?
No, I mean,
he's probably lot. Like, listen, I hope he gets cleared and I hope he comes back and I hope he plays, because I think that there is a scenario where he's actually quite good for us. I think we're good next year if the, you know, just if like a bench unit of Kelly and Ochai and Grady can, like, I think we are good if we can get like three good people off the bench. Mm-hmm. You know, I've said this before on this podcast, the real tragedy of the season was not the wins and losses. The real tragedy of the season was not being able to see our core guy, like our core starters, play together.
Yeah.
And see what that looks like and for long enough and see what we have. There's glimpses of it and it looks like, hey, yeah, this could be pretty good. But I think that, you know, next year's success is going to be really dependent on, because I think that those starters are locked in and I don't think that we're going to be making a ton of moves in that way in the offseason. I really think that success next year comes down to having at least three people be able to come off the bench. And you don't need a full bench mob. We don't need to run five guys right off the bench who can all gel, but like we need people like Kelly and Ochai and Grady to anchor us a very solid bench unit. And then I think that we will be an average team.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. I was thinking Jordan Wara for me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he's one of those guys that it's like I could see him drifting through the NBA and just being like, you know, a immaculate grid type guy. But he also, you know, is 6'8", is athletic, can shoot. There's a lot going on there where I'm like, what, you know, if you are sort of like don't have, if your role is like you're, you know, it's kind of contained, right? Like we're seeing like, you know, Precious, right? It's been a fantastic Nick. And his role has just sort of been reduced to, you know, something more specific. But I'm making a major leap here. And this is a classic, I'm a Raptors fan watching a bad team take, but I kind of feel like Freeman Liberty is like a legit player who, for whatever reason, was passed on too many times and could be like a DeLon Wright style third string backup point guard. And you guys are already laughing, so I'll just get my hat.
No, it's great. It's just,
no, I'll take the loss. It's okay.
For those of you not watching the stream, Andy's eyebrows shot to the back of his head.
Yeah, listen. I got baby brain. So
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just kind of surprised.
No one here is saying you're wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Absolutely be true.
But no one here is saying I'm right. True.
No, but it's just like it's. I was just laughing because it's such a late season take of like, nothing else.
Like he could not be on the team next year. Just, so easily. Like the like, odds, you know, of him being on the team next year are so small. So for me to be like he'll be a part of a winning situation is hilarious and delirious. But
I'm gonna. Yeah, that's yeah. It just surprised me. Yeah, you know, he just seems like he's often doesn't know where he's going when he's on the court. That's all, you know. It's everything.
No, I'm just saying that Marquise Noel is about to go off.
Yeah.
I mean, my picks were all said by all of you except for the last one. But I do think that it's gonna be really interesting. The lottery is gonna show us a lot, because if we get a pick this year, it's like we're in full tank mode next year too. Because I really don't think we're good enough to be a play-in team even when healthy. So it might be another wild ride next year. Also, we're gonna have like don't get used to these guys because we have what, four draft picks this year.
We have we're gonna have that Pistons pick, which should be like 31st, which you know should be a player that plays. The Pacers pick is a lot higher than people realize. That pick is going to be like, last I checked, like 15-16. It's not a lottery pick, but it's going to be before 20. And then obviously if the Poeltl pick doesn't convey, that's going to be somewhere in the top six.
Yeah, so next year, like, you know, somebody, three of these players will be rookies, I think. And raw, like, learning rookies. So, yeah, it might be a... don't get used to it.
I can absolutely see us trading one of these picks, too. Like, I don't necessarily think that with the young players that we have that we're going to go in and draft three times. That's a lot of roster spots to give on especially what is being considered, as I don't know, I'm not a draft expert, but as being considered like a pretty historically weak draft, especially at the top. I don't know that we already dealt one pick. I don't know that we hang on to that. That Pistons pick is essentially like a very late first round pick. I don't necessarily know that we're going to keep all those picks.
Yeah. And you can't draft a guard because you got Freeman Liberty. So you gotta make sure you
eating up the spot.
You gotta have a lot.
Just like that's like that's all like tied up there. So you can't bring in someone that's gonna mess with his.
That's chemistry right there,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, just because like he's gonna be sick. So
he's locked in.
Okay, let's go to some NBA talk. What was my? Oh yeah. Whoever wants to go first here, just, you know, imagine whoever wins the playoff or the play-in for the sake of this question. But what's your dream first round playoff matchup, East or West? That's like you know, relatively in play.
I think mine is Thunder's Clipper. It's not scheduled to happen, but I mean, a Thunder's Clipper matchup would be insane.
Thunder's Clipper. Thunder I love Clipper. That guy.
Thundy Clippy. Thunder's I mean, Clipper, just with the, you know, the Shea trade and Paul George and all that, that'll be a nice first round matchup.
It's a nice story. It's a nice story to
And also, I really would want the Thunder to beat the Clippers.
And there would be this like weird thing of like, are Harden and Westbrook gonna go off on the Thunder?
Yeah.
Which would be like not a major story. I love when that happens, when there's like, oh, that's interesting, but people are like, yeah, but like I actually don't care. There's a bigger storyline.
I'll say the thing that catches my eye out of everything. So when you look at the playoff picture today, it's none of the series that I'm actually like, ooh, yeah, I want to see that. Although I do like, I would like to see Thunder Mavericks. I think that that's a really interesting series. The thing I want to watch the most is I want to watch the West play-in. And I specifically want to watch Lakers Warriors. Two teams who are, neither of them is going to win the championship. But these guys have great games against each other. And in a one-game playoff, these are the two teams that I want to watch go head-to-head. I want to watch these two old Hollywood teams battle it out for one last kick at the can.
You don't want to watch Bulls Hawks?
Clock is ticking on both franchises. Yeah, a lot of the other playoffs, and especially always in the East, there's never that much of a compelling matchup in round one. And looking at it, yeah, I kind of want to watch that, and I don't mind Suns Kings either. And that could even be... what else? Who could slide down and take that?
Any mix of those four teams is going to be pretty exciting to see, you know? Like,
yeah,
I'd love to see Suns Warriors, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, KD and versus the Warriors.
Clippers Pelicans is interesting too, yeah. Clippers Pelicans is.
Pelicans. Pelicans are going to make some noise in these playoffs, I think. I think
Pelicans
they're going to be the.
Searching.
Yeah, surging right now. Exactly. Surging. Yeah, they're going to be fun to watch. In the East, what about this old chestnut here? Knicks Pacers. Am I right, everyone? Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Classic old matchup, you know? Yeah. Spike Lee just losing his mind again, you know? It'll be great. Great to see.
Yeah.
If Reggie the Knicks Miller's are at all healthy. Yeah, Reggie Miller's there doing the, like, if you're watching on your Meta Oculus Rift, he's doing the play-by-play on that on that stream.
Also,
if you're undercard, watching on Twitch, yeah,
undercard OG versus Pascal.
Yes, exactly. There you go. I mean,
oh yeah,
we'll see if he plays. You know, OG. I feel like OG had an amazing first week of the Knicks, and like not there, just gone.
Well, I think they're like 15-2 with OG.
They're crazy. Insane. They're the best defense in the league with OG. It's still very good, obviously. But anyways, I'm struggling to find something I'm excited about in the East. It is really tough. A potential Heat Celtics rematch, I guess, is kind of cool. But like, let's be honest, it's not the same as it was last year. You know, not even close.
Heat Sixers play-in would be nice. Would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But Bulls Hawks, yeah. I feel like we are perpetually in a Bulls Hawks play-in every single year.
Yeah,
I don't have the data to back that up that's maybe ever happened, but that's just the feeling I get is it's always just Bulls Hawks.
Well, you know why? Yeah. That's because it's all the teams in the East who play in wear some combination of black and red, and that's why you're just constantly seeing those colors play each other.
So Raptors, Bulls, Hawks, yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I have a West pick, but just looking at the standings, I didn't realize how close this is to like actually happening, but I feel like the series we've all been robbed of for many years, and provided Embiid is healthy, is Sixers Bucks. So we've never had Giannis versus Embiid for whatever reason. Mm. Somehow in the East, those two teams have dodged each other over and over and over. And you know, former MVPs watching it's funny because of Doc Rivers, but it would be even funnier if there wasn't that mid-year coach firing, and you'd have you know, Nurse versus why am I blanking out? Assistant, his assistant coach, who was the coach, head coach of the Bucks,
Adrian Griffin. Yeah,
oh, Adrian Griffin. That's a major undercard that nobody cares about. But
yeah, welcome to the East, I guess. You know?
Yeah, like, well, then the West.
No one cares about our major matchups in the East over here.
Yeah, it's not a factor. The Thunder have slid to third, but you know they're tied with the T-Wolves still, and I feel like, I don't know, I'm a little bit lower on the Thunder than most people I know. And it's just, you know, I have never seen a young team have a ton of success, but doesn't mean it can't happen.
I mean,
Suns versus Thunder. I want that old team, like a bunch of old guys versus a bunch of young guys. It would be fun. Sorry.
No. I feel like the Thunder is that team. Closest to that we've seen, this really young team going really far in the playoffs, right? Like, but you're right. I feel like nobody's picking the Thunder to win at all. The, you know, maybe a first round or something like that, but no one's picking them to win the championship this year. There's just too much going on. There's just too much nuggets. You know what I mean? Like, this Thunder being this young, they're just no one's picking them. But again,
too much nuggets.
It's too much Nuggets. No one can get past the Nuggets. Who's talking about realistically beating the Nuggets? Like the Mavericks, maybe. Like here's my hot underground take: the New Orleans Pelicans could beat the Denver Nuggets. What? I don't really think that. I don't actually think that. But wouldn't it be crazy?
That'd be cool. He's got the burning book.
Zion going nuts. I'd love to see it. Brandon Ingram just like doing their version of what the Nuggets do would be very interesting to see.
It would be wicked. Freddie, can I introduce a guest topic or just a dumb thought that I just had?
Bring it in there. And if it's a burning book, I love
you. So I go to a lot of Raptors games, and I've been to like 3 Raptors games while we're tanking. Mm-hmm. And my question is, while we're tanking and retooling everything, why can't we have a new arena production? Not team. I don't want anyone to get fired in the arena. I don't want Squizzy or whatever his name is, or Herbie Coon. I want them to be safe. But you know, do we have to hear
Drizzy? Let's get
Strizzy?
Drizzy. How dare
it's
you?
It's not Drizzy.
It is Drizzy.
No, it's not.
Oh, that's Drake. Shit, that's my Drake. Bad.
I was going to say, that's like, what? You talking about Drake?
No, Drizzy is also there. Like, he's there, you know.
No, yes, I actually messed up.
But I'm
Adam,
saying...
What do you...
You're
what,
about
what,
to get called out by the Strizzy stands, dude. I'm like, saying... The Strizzy stands are going to come for you.
I would just appreciate some, you know, maybe let the Raptors dance pack do some new dances that they're excited about. Maybe some new songs to pump up the crowd. That it's not the same, you know, let's get it started in here, ding, 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 bell to start the game. If we're tanking, let's make it weird.
I just wish that we did less. I wish that we did less across the board. When you go to a Raptors game, it's such an onslaught of just, like, noise and bullshit that I'm like, at some point, I would like the basketball to come out here a little bit. Can we put, like, something on the screen that talks about, I don't know, wild idea, basketball in some capacity that might, you know... I don't want to get all educational and informational here, but something is, you know.
Yeah, put up a podcast mid-game.
Can this just be the half?
Put up this podcast.
And we're just like, wow, Scotty Barnes, tough first half. I don't know if he's got it. I don't know if he's got what it's
like. Yeah, he's watching. Boo! He's like, who are these losers?
What the hell are they doing?
There should be a skeptical Raptors fan that the arena gets to boo. They should just put Miguel there and be like, this team's going to be terrible for 4 years. And everyone was like, no!
Yeah, he's just up there with Miguel Rivas.
Miguel Rivas.
I don't know, Scott.
Raptors fan, Miguel Rivas.
I mean, I've been saying this for years. Like, I understand we're not a, you know, glamour market legacy franchise, but, like, the court lighting is a beautiful thing. It's amazing. We've done that a couple times, I think, for Drake Night. But it's not a thing we do, and there's still the whatever, like it kills me. Like when the game has started and someone's like screaming, do you want a Haggard free t-shirt? I feel like I'm gonna snap every time because I'm like, okay, listen, I understand there's kids here, we gotta keep them entertained. That's all good. drop the parachute stuff, whatever. Do silly shit, but the amount of just like non-basketball noise is annoying. But yeah, I mean, I'm officially like an old head now. So,
like, do you know what the Toronto Maple Leafs do in the intermissions of their games? Nothing.
Nothing.
They don't do anything. They have like a video package that they play. They darken the lights on the ice, and it's just like you could just go do whatever, go get a drink. Like that's the whole point. And I just feel like we're in such a like a panic mode of like you have to be entertained every single second of this time. It's just so sweaty and like obnoxious. And I'm like, if we just let this whole thing breathe 20% more, it's going to improve everyone's enjoyment of the game, because I just don't think that anyone actually likes to go to the games and be screamed at for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah. And you know, like that's like from a time when the Raptors were a joke. Mm-hmm. The Raptors are the most valuable franchise in Canada by far. And they're the 48th most valuable sports franchise in the world. So at some point you got to be like, have some like a little bit of respect for yourself. You got to be like, hey, this is like a really, you know, lucrative, awesome thing we have, so maybe we should like chill on some of the
MLSE is trying to sell a good time, and they have a formula to kill the entire game. And even like I went to the Pelicans game, we lost by 40, and kids were screaming for the entire time. Like people were just on their feet. We were making noise going into the fourth quarter, and we were down by like 28 points.
Exactly. That's right. There's a bit of a pushback here, is that I think that keeping that energy up is one of the main reasons that going to Raptors games is way more fun than going to Leaf games. Raptors are a better, when they're even, no matter how good or bad they are, I think the in arena experience is way more fun at the Raptors. And Brenda, you old curmudgeon, you might not like that when the juggling guy comes out and builds a tower of chairs and like stands on or whatever. Like we all love that shit, man. But it does, it maintains a level of energy in the arena that like is beneficial to the team. I really think that. And like you can still go out and get a drink. You can still get it. Go have your drink. Go have your drink. Go. You go out with away from the noise.
No. If this energy is still so beneficial to this team, how are we losing by 40 points?
What are we supposed to do? Is the juggling guy supposed to shoot threes during the game as well? Like, what the hell? What do you expect him to do?
The guys are dancing. How are we?
I will say,
all this energy is so important.
Adam just said he's at a game where we're losing by 40 and people are still cheering. People don't cheer when the Leafs are winning. You know what I mean? Like it's way better.
I don't think we should cheer when we're down by 40. I think that we should.
Wow, there it is.
You know what the Leafs do every intermission, and Brenda loves it. They play. They have a white noise machine, and everyone's allowed to read or take a little nap. Their seats go back, and
they come out with like the eye cover cannon, and we just put on little sleeping eye covers. It's so nice.
Everyone looks through their photos of Chad Kroeger from Nickelback concert quietly. Okay, lots of good points here. I'm just gonna I'm gonna tack on two things. Countering myself and to what Andy and Adam were saying, this franchise is built on marketing the kids. That's why it's successful,
Yeah, look at where we were the kids, right?
We were, and like the Barney purple, that's all on purpose. It worked. But I'm in Brendo's camp, because when I see fan bases that are like, listen, we have a threshold and we've lost by 40 points or more, at home, which is a franchise record twice in 2 weeks. So like there should
be record scoring in the league. Anyways.
Fair enough. There should be a threshold where it's like, we do have some shame. And we have to teach our kids shame as well.
Jesus Christ.
Like, our kids.
We must feel shame.
You've been a dad for 3 weeks.
I know. Listen, when I bring my son to the game,
I want him to have a dour expression on his face and understand that we are losing.
That's right. Listen, son. What you see here is not acceptable. Okay? Like people cheering and we're down 40. Okay? That's not okay.
Don't.
We sit here silently, son. For the fourth quarter. Right. We make not a peep.
Well, the Dad, when I went to that Raptors game, it was no fun.
There'll be no t-shirts for anyone tonight.
I went to a Hawks game last year, and the production in the stadium so bad, and no one cheered once for anything. Like, anytime they were like, Hawks fans, make some noise. No one moved. It was insane. And you remember going to Clippers games living in LA. It's like, that stadium is dead.
Yeah.
So I think
there's just how Brenda likes it. Just how he likes it.
Oh, no problem. It's just people watching the game. I just want to watch the game. Let me watch the game.
Yeah, Brenda's like, man. I just want to watch the game quietly with Billy Crystal.
Yeah. He was screaming at me about like getting it started or like, you know, I don't know. Like
getting it started. I won't. I refuse.
I don't want to start it. You start it.
Okay.
I paid you. You start it.
Let's do my final question here. Speaking of like, you know, bringing things down, I do this at least once a year. Who's the most boring player in the NBA? But, wrinkle, who's the most boring good player? So it doesn't have to be an all-star, but you know, it can't just be like this person's boring / they're also bad. You know, no one in the NBA is bad, but who's someone who's like, this player is objectively good, you know, like starter level or whatever, you know, good rotation player. And they're also boring.
TJ McConnell?
Yeah. That's a solid pick.
Solid minutes. A few steals. Boring as hell.
I like that.
Okay.
Here's my pick. I think he's one of the greats, and I think he's very boring. Giannis Antetokounmpo is boring. I think that this
I love him, but people think he's boring.
One is because, like, in the old days, the players who played around the rim, those were the exciting players. So players who were, like, driving to the net, who were dunking, who were playing close to the net, those were the exciting players to watch. And now it's can you ball handle? Can you step back three? Those are the exciting players to watch. Mm. And I find that it's not his fault at all, but I find Giannis a little bit boring sometimes, even though he's very obviously very great. And he just doesn't move the needle for me in any way. I don't feel any particular way about Giannis. If he was playing for the Raptors, I'd feel every way about him. But he decided not to do that. And now when I watch him, I'm not excited by it. I'm not like, oh my gosh, you got it. Like, when was the last time you really sent like a, you got to see what Giannis did last night clip to somebody, but you've done, you know, but there are so many other players that, would have that above him right now. So Giannis, that is my hot take pick.
This is why I did this question. That's a good pick, you know, and he has that like almost like metronome quality where it's like the Bucks are always amazing, largely because he's like so healthy and awesome all the time. Mm-hmm. But that's a really good point about, you know, yeah, we used to be more excited about dunking. Like, you know, if Shaq's in today's NBA, are people just like, man, I wish you could shoot. Right.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And I think
this guy can't space the floor.
Yeah, right. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, obviously Shaq's better, but Giannis has some sort of like modern day Shaq qualities.
I think in that regard too, Anthony Davis is also like a very quiet, good player. Sometimes you watch a Laker game and you're like, where has Anthony Davis been? And then the stats come up and he's like, it's like he has 32-14 with 8 blocks. And you're
yeah,
like,
I know.
Was I getting something?
These are good. These are good takes.
I got a good one. And it's more of a, like, I appreciate, like, there's different metrics you can use here, but I think my boy Kawhi Leonard is easily the most boring player in the NBA, who's also so good. Do you know what I mean? Like, personality-wise, it's a blank slate, and his face is stone all the time when he's playing. When he's making these great plays, it's just constantly, he's a robot, and to me, that's quite boring. Like Giannis, like AD though, like he does have spectacular plays. We all know this. We've seen them firsthand, but I mean, I don't know if it gets more boring than him. My other like candidate is kind of, I don't know if it's my Boston hating bias, but Jason Tatum is like so good, but like, and the only reason anyone talks about it is because Boston fans are like, this guy's the best and no one talks about him. And everyone's like, yeah, but he's boring. Who cares? You know,
Tatum does have a weird sort of like like lull you to sleep and is basically perfect in every way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sort of like, but I mean, he does all the, you know, to Brendo's earlier point, he does all the sort of typical exciting things. Like he does step back threes, game winners. Like he's just like, he's like a dominant player who's sort of like just outside of the MVP conversation. But yeah, I thought about him for this question too, because he's kind of like flawless as a player.
And that's boring. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of boring, right? In some ways, that's boring.
We do like flawed players, right? Like all your picks are better than mine. But Vucevic came up as a guy that is good, but at no point are you like, oh man, this is, I get to watch Vucci Main play tonight.
Vucci Main.
Drew Holiday, good throw in there.
Yeah.
Mike Conley. I'm just trying to think of guards because there's a lot of like boring big men candidates. Maybe Jared Allen.
Defensive guards are always boring players.
I mean, defensive general,
players straight up kind of exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The Cephalosha Award.
Tabo.
I think good question, Freddie. Good, really good job.
Great job. Welcome back. Yeah.
They couldn't do it.
Who said
they still might. Let's talk about the play-in.
Yeah. We'll read the comments later and see if he could in fact do it.
I'm gonna get a roast. Your baby sucks. You suck. If I see you at a game,
okay. You're dead. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Real serious threat.
Shit.
This is gonna be from the mafia that you the aforementioned mafia.
Yeah, you brought us up. No one knew he existed before you.
You definitely disparaged them, and they're quite upset about it.
Yeah, fair. Well, guys, I think that's a wrap.
I think it is.
Want to shout out another shout out to Brendo and Andy for holding it down, and also Adam is here. You know, I can't not shout you out too.
I didn't do a single thing.
And
I refused to meet your baby.
Whoa.
Wow.
He already mentioned Jamie. Listen, should we do some plugs or what? Adam, what's going on?
Plugs every Friday at Comedy Bar, downtown Toronto, Ontario, Canada, 7 o'clock Friday. You'll see the best comedy show in the damn city. Stand-up-wise.
Stand-up-wise.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
It's called The Headliner. It's all the best stand-ups in the country do a longer set. It's one of the only places in the city you can see that. So come on down, 7 o'clock. Comedy Bar every Friday night. Does this drop today?
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Later tonight, probably.
I have no idea who is next week, but it's probably one of the best comics in the city. So, I only book the best.
Brendo.
Yeah, we say it every week. Me and Andy's web series Space Janitors coming back May 4th on the internet on YouTube. Check that out. Otherwise. I don't know. We're both doing a show tonight, and it doesn't matter because this will not come out in time. So, you know, go see Adam Christie.
Are you at Catch?
Not tonight. No, we're doing Weird Al Karaoke tonight.
Oh my God! Back. Yeah, that's I guess is that back officially as a monthly, or is this just like a
not as a monthly? It'll be back every month that there's an extra week. So if any 5 week months or 5 week months, whatever. Okay. That's when you'll see Weird Al Karaoke back on. So the next one is actually in May. So keep an eye out for the last Friday in May. Come check out Weird Al Karaoke.
It's a great show.
It's
I'm so happy
song, original show. Song parodies made by the greatest comedians in Toronto. Song parodies wise.
Beautiful. I'm just going to plug myself. I'm back. That's all I got. But thanks everyone for listening, roasting us. Commenting, and we'll see you next week.